Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Today is the 30th day of the blessed month of Amshir. May the Lord end it in goodness and renew it for us in peace and tranquility, while our sins and iniquities are forgiven through the tender mercies of our Lord, my fathers, and my brethren. Amen. On this day, we celebrate the commemoration of the appearance of the head of St. John the Baptist. Herod commanded his head to be cut off and brought on a platter and given to Herodias according to her request. It was said that after the feast, they regretted the slaying of St. John, so he regretted the slaying of St. John, so he kept the head in his house. Aretas, the Arabic king, Herod's father-in-law, was enraged because Herod banished his daughter and married the wife of his brother while his brother was still alive. Aretas instigated a war against Herod in revenge for his daughter. He overcame Herod, dispersed his army, and destroyed the cities of Galilee. When Tiberius Caesar learned that the reason for these wars was the slaying of a prophet who was great among his people by Herod, who banished his wife, the daughter of Aretas, the Arabian king, and married his brother's wife, he summoned Herod and Herodias to Rome. Herod hid the head of St. John in his palace and went to Rome. When he arrived there, Tiberius removed him from his position and stripped him of all his possessions and exiled him to Spain, where he died. Herod's palace was ruined and became an example for those who might think of following in his footsteps. A few years later, two believing men from Homs went to Jerusalem to spend the holy fast, Great Lent, there. Night fell on them while passing by the ruins of Herod's palace, so they spent the night there. St. John appeared to one of them and told him about his name and the whereabouts of his head and ordered him to take it to his house. When he woke up, the man told this to his friend, and they went to the place where the head was buried. They dug and found a sealed pottery vessel. When they opened that vessel, a sweet aroma spread out of it. They found the holy head, took its blessing, and placed it back in the vessel. The man that saw the vision took it to his house. He put it in a safe place and put a candle in front of it. Before his departure, he told his sister about it, and she went on going the same thing. The head was handed from one person to another until it came to the hand of a follower of Arius, who attributed the wonders and miracles that happened through the holy head to the heresy of Arius. The Lord commanded someone to force him out of his house. The place of the head remained unknown until the time of St. Cyril, Pope Kyrillus, Bishop of Jerusalem. Not Pope, Bishop Kyrillus of Jerusalem. St. John appeared to Amba Martianus, Bishop of Homs, in his sleep and told him about the place of the head. He went there and found the head, and that was on the 30th of the month of Amshir. May the prayer of the saint be with us. Amen. Today also, for the first time, it's the newest pope to be candidate in the history of our Coptic Church, Pope Kyrillus VI. Let us read the biography of Pope Kyrillus in English for our children who may don't know much about him. On this day of the year 1687, on March 9th, 1971, Anno Domini, the saintly Pope Abba Cyril, the 116th among the Holy Fathers, the Patriarchs of Alexandria, departed. His name before becoming a monk was Azir Yusuf Atta, born in August 8, 1902, in the city of Namanhur, to a devout Christian parents. An old blind monk named Higumen Tedros El Baramusi used to visit the family and Azir ever since age four, used to remain close to that monk as long as his visit lasted. One night he slept on the knees of the old monk. His mother wanted to take him away, but the monk told her, "Leave him. He belongs to us." When he grew up, he worked for Cox Company in Alexandria after finishing his studies in 1921. He always preferred to stay alone in his room studying the Holy Bible. He also was diligent in studying the church's rites, praises, and hymns. He loved the monastic life. His love for the monastic life was evident from the fact that he preferred to sleep on the floor rather than his bed, and his food was basically a piece of bread. He continued in this monastic way of life for 5 years before joining the monastery. In July 1927, he entered the Baramus Monastery during the papacy of Pope Kyrillus V. He remained as a candidate for several months, and when the monks nominated him for the monastic life, he was ordained as Monk Mina El Baramusi. He chose the name Mina since he was attached to the memory of Saint Mina, the wonder worker, and considered him his patron saint. Also, this ordination as a monk happened on the feast of monk named Mina, not Saint Mina, but also on the same day of ordination as a monk coincides the feast of not Marimina, another monk named Mina. On Sunday, July 18, he was ordained a priest. While staying in the monastery, he joined the seminary of Helwan. When he heard that Pope Ioannis, Patriarch of Alexandria, intended to ordain him as a bishop, he fled into Upper Egypt, where he stayed in the monastery of Saint Shenouda in Sohaq. He later met the Pope and confided in him that he wishes to be an anchorite. The Pope agreed to his request and assigned a pious elderly monk named Higumen Abdel Messiah El Baramusi to be his spiritual guide. He lived in a cave that was 1 hour walking distance from the monastery. He used to come to the monastery Saturday night to wash his clothes as well as those of the other monks and to attend the Vespers and Sunday liturgy for communion. Early in 1936, he started to live in a deserted mill in the desert of Old Cairo, where he diligently held a daily liturgy. In 1941, he was assigned to be the abbot of Abba Samuel the Confessor in Megara. He renovated the monastery and the church and built new cells for the monks. Many pious monks became his disciples. The new church was consecrated by the late Bishop Athanasius of Benisweif, who gave him the rank of hegumen. He frequently went back to the old mill to pray. In 1947, he returned to Old Cairo, where he built a small church named after St. Mina, using the meager contributions that he received. He participated in the actual building with the workers. In that church, several pious monks became his disciples, many of whom later became bishops of the church. In 1949, he annexed to the church a student resident for four out-of-town students. Hegumen Mina el-Baramusi became famous for ceaseless prayer and strong faith. Many who were afflicted by various diseases came to see him from all over the country, and they were healed through his prayers. God honored him by these miracles, both during his life as well as after his departure. When Pope Eusebius II departed, a presidential decree was issued on November 13, 1957, concerning the regulations for the election of the new Pope of Alexandria. The long process of nominations and elections were concluded, and an altar lot was drawn following the divine liturgy at the Great Cathedral of St. Mark on April 19, 1959. The liturgy was attended by all the clergy of the church, and the anchorite, Hegumen Mina el-Baramusi, was chosen to become the 116th successor of St. Mark the Apostle. His ordination took place on Sunday, May 10, 1959, as Pope Kyrillus VI, Pope of Alexandria and Patriarch of the See of St. Mark. In June 28, 1959, His Holiness ordained a Patriarch Catholicos for the Church of Ethiopia, and a protocol was signed between the two churches ascertaining the mutual love between them. In November 1959, His Holiness put the foundation stone of the monastery of the great martyr Saint Mina, the wonder worker, in the wilderness of Mariut, and returned his relics there. He also built several churches and a great cathedral that is almost as great as the old cathedral that was built by Saint Athanasius the Great. This monastery, my beloved, when they first bought it, it was only 15 acres. Now it is more than 1,000 acres. And I remember that it was surrounded by a fence, and most of it was olive trees. And just two churches, the big church of St. Mary and a very small chapel after the names of Samuel the Confessor. Over this was the room of His Holiness Pope Kyrillus, who became after that the room of Ambamina of Amina, and now it is another chapel over the chapel of Pope of the chapel of St. Samuel the Great. In 1967, His Holiness compounded the Holy Mairun, which was a historical occasion, since this was the 26th time this was done during the history of the Coptic Orthodox Church. In April 2, 1968, the Immaculate Mother of the Light, Saint Mary, was transfigured on the domes of her church in Zaytun, a suburb in Cairo. This was a heavenly revelation unsurpassed since the coming down of the Holy Spirit on the holy disciples on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Virgin appeared in a celestial light that no man can describe. The apparitions continued for many days together with the celestial bodies and luminous doves and fragrant incense. Thousands who had diverse incurable diseases were healed, for the blind received their sight. I saw many of them. And the paralytics were cured, and the lame walked from the all religious and nationalities. Joy and comfort filled all day, glorified God exceedingly. In June 1968, His Holiness received the relics of St. Mark after sojourning away from Egypt for close to 11 centuries. He led it to rest in a reliquary specially built under the altar of the great cathedral of St. Mark, which His Holiness had built and which was inaugurated in a magnificent celebration attended then by the president, who was president of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, as well as the later emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, delegates from churches all over the world, and multitudes of Copts. Pope Kirill VI never forgot that he is the poor monk Mina, the anchorite. His food was very simple. Many days he would subsist on a meal of dry bread, salt, and cumin. During Lent and the fast of the Holy Virgin, he would eat one meal at night after the conclusion of his daily liturgy, and which concluded in the evening. His clothes were very simple, and he slept very little. Those who used to visit the monastery of St. Mina saw the very simple clothes, either in his room or even in the altar. He was diligent in singing midnight praise daily. He started it before sunrise. He used to surprise the churches without even telling anyone. And he used to put to make the sign of the cross on the closed doors of the church, and the doors were opened from themselves. And he entered, starting the praise, midnight praise, until the priest and the deacon and the congregation arrive. And then he starts, or used to start, the liturgy. His daily liturgy was serene and profound, sung in a low voice, with his voice looking down and his eyes closed. ما كانش عنده صوته حلو يعني. His voice was not that good يعني, when you يعني measuring بقى على ده صوته جميل وده صوته مش عارف ايه, لا, بس كان deep voice. He was praying, not singing. And this is the main difference between to pray and to sing. We are not singers in the church. We are chanters. We chant the hymns of the Lord in a very deep and spiritual way, as His Holiness used to do. He prayed almost without tune, in reverence and compunction, often crying profusely, so much so that those who saw him cried. He was the first pope in a generation to have an open door to everyone. Anyone could sit with him and talk to him without barriers or impediments. He guided those who were lost and reformed those who were crooked. He prayed for these those who needed help, so much so that the lives of those who encountered him were not slowly renewed. How many were healed by him, and how many demons were exorcised by a simple word of his blessed mouth, and how many problems were solved through his prayers. At evenings, he always attended Vespers. Thus, his whole day was spent in prayer, whether in church or in his cell or while meeting people. While he walked on or ate, he always recited the Psalms, raising his mind and his heart and indeed all his senses towards God. No wonder he was known as a man of prayer and miracles. When God wanted to give him rest from the affliction of this present age, he revealed to him with many celestial revelations that he often told to his loved ones. He had a brief illness, and on the day of his departure, he received a number of his children. And when the last one went away, and he was a priest, he raised the cross and said, "May the Lord arrange your affairs." Then he then entered into his cell and gave up his pure soul into the hands of God whom he served. He was buried under the altar of the new cathedral, which he had built. On October 15th, 1688, on Hathor 15th, 1688, November 25th, 1972, his pure relics were translated to the monastery of St. Mina at Mariotte according to his handwritten will in a dignified ceremony so that he can be beside his great intercessor, St. Mina. On the day of the translation of his relics, heaven honored this great saint, for the sky thundered and rain came down in such a way that had never been seen before. Before we conclude, we have to mention the last news about this great saint. Two things. Pope Tawadros II and the Holy Synod canonized him with the Archdeacon Habib Girgis to be the latter or the newest two saints in the list of the church, and they decided to mention his name in the liturgy. Secondly, His Holiness also consecrated the first church in the monastery of Maremina after the name of this great saint, Pope Kyrillos. May the blessing of this apostolic saint be with us, and glory be to God forever. Amen. Oh,